Hi, everybody. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. Let's begin for just a few moments to come together into that quiet, still place that we all share. And our theme tonight, since Christmas is this week, is related to one of the quotes in the Course, that Christmas is not a time, it's a state of mind. So as we think about this, we can just touch our willingness to wake up to that state of mind that is purely at peace, and has not forgotten who we truly are. And taking a nice mindful breath in. And when you're ready, allowing your eyes to open, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right, so we are going to change things up tonight, and rather than read in the order that we usually read, we're actually going to be doing a Christmas reading. Now, I have three different sections that we're going to read and three different editions of the book in front of me. So what I think I'm going to do is just read through, before we start reading, I'm just going to tell you where we're at in each edition, and we'll just take it from there. And then as we go through the call, if anybody needs me to find the page number again, I can do that. So in the Sparkle edition, we're going to begin on page 354. Then we're going to jump ahead to page 371. And then the third section in the Sparkle edition that we'll be reading is on page 374. That last section is called The End of Sacrifice. If you have the original edition, let me see if I can do this. The first section that we'll be reading is page 298 in the original edition. It's chapter 15, paragraph 29. Then we will skip ahead to page 312 and then end with the section on page 315. So that was the original edition. And then if you have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, let me see if I can do this real quick. Even though I wrote it down, I have all these notes everywhere. It will be, I think it's page 308. Let me just make sure. Yeah, page 308 is where we'll start in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition. And from there, we'll go to page 324, I believe. Yes, page 324 followed by page 327. So I'm hoping if you have those editions, you took some notes. I can definitely do that again if I need to. But we're going to start now. Again, I'm looking at the Sparkle edition. And I believe I said page 354 for starters, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. I'm all organized now. All righty. So, again, our theme, this quote that I said during our very brief period of silence was from a different part of the book. The quote is, "Christmas is not a time, it is a state of mind. The Christ mind wills from the soul, not from the ego, and the Christ mind is yours." FYI, that little snippet was from the Sparkle edition, page 75, in a section called Love Without Conflict. But we're not going to read that. We're going to start here. So again, page 354, I'm at the very bottom. It's the last paragraph. It begins, "In this season, Christmas," in parentheses. All right, here we go. And I think I'm going to read, rather than take it paragraph at a time, just since I sort of picked a lot of reading for tonight, I'll probably read maybe two or all three of these paragraphs before pausing. In this season, Christmas, which celebrates the birth of holiness into this world, join with me who decided for holiness for you. It is our task together to restore the awareness of magnitude to the host whom God appointed for himself. It is beyond all your littleness to give the gift of God, but not beyond you. For God would give himself through you. He reaches from you to everyone, and beyond everyone to his son's creations, but without leaving you. Far beyond your little world, but still in you, he extends forever. Yet he brings all his extensions to you as host to him. I actually do feel moved to pause there for a minute just to say that this first paragraph, so in this season, Christmas, which celebrates the birth of holiness into this world, join with me who decided for holiness for you. So this isn't about, Christmas isn't about the birth of Jesus necessarily, but about the birth of holiness in all of us. Jesus, at some point in the course, I'm remembering, says something to the effect of, you know, don't celebrate my body. It's not about his body. This, again, is about the birth of our remembrance of truth, the birth of holiness in all of us. And when it says, it's our task together to restore the awareness of magnitude to the host whom God appointed for himself, that's us. We are that host whom God appointed for himself. And then it says, it's beyond all your littleness to give the gift of God, but not beyond you. Meaning, it's beyond all of our littleness. It's not our ego that's able to give the gift of God. It's us. It's the true I, the capital I, the capital M in me that is capable of giving that gift of God, this awareness of truth, this awareness of love. So with that, I'll keep going. Does anybody have any questions or comments about that first paragraph?
No, that was great explaining, though.
Oh, good, good. So, yeah, so keep in mind as we're going that this is all about celebrating the birth of holiness in us, in this world. So next paragraph. Is it a sacrifice to leave littleness behind and wander not in vain? Is it not sacrifice to wake to glory? It is not sacrifice to wake to glory. But it is a sacrifice to accept anything less than glory. Learn that you must be worthy of the Prince of Peace, born in you in honor of him whose host you are. You know not what love means because you have sought to purchase it with little gifts, thus valuing it too little to be able to understand its magnitude. Love is not little, and love dwells in you, for you are host to him. Before the greatness that lives in you, your poor appreciation of yourself and all the little offerings you have given slip into nothingness. Holy child of God, when will you learn that only holiness can content you and give you peace? It's funny, what came up for me as I was reading this paragraph was I did a workshop recently, and one of the things that a number of people, it had to do with the upcoming holidays, and one of the things that a lot of people shared was just this feeling of emptiness with gift giving, with surrounding, you know, like, oh, like, you know, everybody, it's such a big deal, they make such a big thing out of it, and I'd rather, you know, not give gifts and you know, have another way, do something different. And this, to me, just really speaks to that, you know, again, the material things, those gifts, we can use those as perhaps symbolic, but there's something much, much deeper and much more satisfying in terms of, you know, being able to give and receive, that we're capable of giving, and it's not something that's material. I love that sentence, learn that you must be worthy of the Prince of Peace, born in you in honor of him whose host you are. So that Prince of Peace, call it Jesus, call it Christ, truth, awareness, love, that's something that is, it is already born in us. It's something, obviously, that as course students, we're very interested in, you know, expanding our awareness of, or we wouldn't be here. And then let's take the next paragraph. Remember that you learn not for yourself alone, no more than I did. It is because I learned for you that you can learn of me. I would but teach you what is yours, so that together we can replace the shabby littleness that binds the host of God to guilt and weakness with the glad awareness of the glory that is in him. My birth in you is your awakening to grandeur. Welcome me not into a manger, but into the altar to holiness, where holiness abides in perfect peace. My kingdom is not of this world, because it is in you, and you are of your Father. Let us join in honoring you who must remain forever beyond littleness. This whole section is about littleness versus magnitude, and littleness is what we seemingly have contented ourselves with in this world. It's seemingly, littleness is this world. It is the body. It's these, you know, ego selves, these small selves that we believe that we are. Our awakening to grandeur is that awakening, that rebirth of the awareness of truth within us all, that we are all something that transcends the body and is much, much, much greater.
And like in
that.
The paragraph before, it says, love dwells in you. That just makes me feel good.
Doesn't it? Yeah. I'm glad that you said that, because there's so many sentences throughout this that it just, it strikes me right in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, did you have something to add also?
Funny enough, the sentence that stood out to me is, my birth in you is your awakening to grandeur. So it's almost the same, it's the same idea that
mm-hmm.
she just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I loved it.
I love it too. And so you know, when we're celebrating Christmas, we can think about this, that, you know, again, it's not about that we're celebrating the birth of something outside of ourselves. It's not about that we're celebrating the birth of a person. It's that birth of Christ in all of us. And so, you know, we have that opportunity every moment. And again, this goes back to the saying that Christmas is not a time, it's a state of mind. We can be in this spirit of Christmas, in this place where we are willing to allow Christ to be reborn in us. That's what this is about. That's about the true meaning of Christmas, according to the Course.
It's really beautiful.
I really
yeah.
like that sentence where it says, welcome me not into a manger, but into the altar of to holiness, where holiness abides in perfect peace, and that altar is within all of us. This stuff gives me goosebumps.
It's just a lovely way to look at things, you know?
It is, isn't it? So we're going to move ahead, and of course, you can mark this section if you want to read the whole thing. You know, we could read any of these whole entire sections, but just in the interest of an hour together, I just picked a few paragraphs. So that was the first section we were going to look at. The next one, you can move ahead. If you have the Sparkle Edition, we're going to page 371. And again, for anybody who's tuning in who might be listening at a later point in time, the Sparkle Edition is available for free to download as a PDF online, so you can always contact me to find out how to get that. We do have a tab, a link to it on the top navigation bar of miracleshare.org. 371, yep, it's called The Time of Christ.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody need a reference for another edition? Or are we good? Sounds like we're good. All right, The Time of Christ. It is in your power, in time, to delay the perfect union of the Father and the Son. For in this world, the attraction of guilt does stand between them. Neither time nor season means anything in eternity. But here, it is the Holy Spirit's function to use them both, though not as the ego uses them. This is the season when you would celebrate my birth into the world. Yet you know not how to do it. Let the Holy Spirit teach you, and let me celebrate your birth through him. The only gift I can accept of you is the gift I gave to you. Release me as I will your release. The time of Christ we celebrate together, for it has no meaning if we are apart. The holy instant is truly the time of Christ. For in this liberating instant, no guilt is laid upon the Son of God, and his unlimited power is thus restored to him. What other gift can you offer me when only this I will to offer you? And to see me is to see me in everyone and offer everyone the gift you offer me. I am as incapable of receiving sacrifice as God is. And every sacrifice you ask of yourself, you ask of me. Learn now that sacrifice of any kind is nothing but a limitation imposed on giving. And by this limitation, you have limited acceptance of the gift I offer you. We who are one cannot give separately. When you are willing to accept our relationship as real, guilt will hold no attraction for you. For in our union, you will accept all of our brothers. The gift of union is the only gift that I was born to give. Give it to me that you may have it. The time of Christ is the time appointed for the gift of freedom offered to everyone. And by your acceptance of it, you have offered it to everyone. It is in your power to make the season holy, for it is in your power to make the time of Christ be now. Wow, that last paragraph, I got really choked up. Just thinking about what really struck me was where it said the last couple sentences that we read, the time of Christ is the time appointed for the gift of freedom offered to everyone. And what is that talking about? But that gift of freedom is that gift simply of being willing to see the Holy Spirit in everyone. It's simply that gift of being willing to acknowledge or just even, I think being willing is the best way of saying it. It's that gift of just being willing to trust that the Holy Spirit is in every other person that we see. It goes back to that example that I've shared so many times in the call when I was speaking with somebody who was, I was finding quite difficult and, you know, on the telephone, and I was just focused on the fact that the Holy Spirit is in this person, period. And the miracle, the shift that happened after that was just a huge teaching moment for me, which is why I think I always bring this example up. But if you think about, you know, again, rather than exchanging presents with people, rather than exchanging those, you know, those physical gifts, what if we could offer this gift of freedom to everybody, this gift of simply being willing to see past appearances, to not believe what our body's eyes see, and instead, you know, turn that picture to spirit, and instead simply be willing to see the truth in the other person, because as we do that, we learn that that truth is in us as well, and that's what it means when it says that next sentence, and by your acceptance of it, of that gift of freedom, you have offered it to everyone. It is in your power to make this season holy, for it is in your power to make the time of Christ be now. And that's the holy instant. That's how this section, actually, I'm sorry, it was the second paragraph that we just read, the first sentence. The holy instant is truly the time of Christ. So if you think about that, if the time of Christ, you know, again, rather than it being, you know, the birth of Jesus's body, the time of Christ is the holy instant, and that can be, that's this instant and every instant. It's every instant that we're willing to turn to the Holy Spirit rather than to the ego. So that last paragraph, it all, I thought, was so beautiful, and that last paragraph particularly touched me. me.
Yeah, the last paragraph was really brought it home.
yeah, it really did.
This is my first Christmas and being a student of the Course in Miracles, so the way you're explaining it and just shifting my whole perspective of the whole holiday is just awesome.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yeah, it's funny, like, gosh, I can't even remember what my favorite holidays used to be, but now, I'll say even now, I feel like I've gained much more of an appreciation of Christmas as well, just even with my understanding having, you know, continually it's been growing over the years, but for a long time too, after becoming a Course student, Easter has always been my favorite holiday because it's all about the resurrection. It's all about
right.
Jesus, him demonstrating that death isn't real. So that's mm-hmm. been, you know, a huge area that has really helped the anxiety issues that I have had, and so that's always been my favorite holiday. But now it's like, oh, I feel like I'm getting this, you know, I'm getting this this teaching about seeing the Holy Spirit in others, and you know, that being the gift of freedom. So I have to say, I don't know what my favorite holiday is now, but I'm just grateful for
well,
all of it.
After hearing you read all of that, I now understand why I've always been so drawn to Christmas, you know, and the magical feeling around Christmas, that's why.
And the
love, and it's interesting what you were saying about gifts, Corinne, because gift giving doesn't have to be that way. It's that we've attached guilt to it.
And
gift giving can also be a really holy and innocent experience as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So I just had a friend just out of the blue give me a beautiful framed photograph of a butterfly.
Oh, wow.
And it just was so, like, I wasn't expecting it. I had no idea it was coming. And it was just, like, this innocent gift that really just really uplifted me. Because I love butterflies, so, and she knew this, and so it was like she thought of me as soon as she saw the photograph, and wanted me to have it. So it was just really beautiful. The whole.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I actually really like, you know, the experience of giving gifts to people. I understand what the Course is saying about littleness and how we can get caught up in that, but
mm-hmm.
it can also be a very loving.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
It's really Absolutely. About the consciousness. Like, that's exactly what I was thinking when Corinne mentioned that earlier, and then in the last line where it says, it is in your power to make this season holy, or it is in your power to make the time of Christ be now. I just, it makes me think, you know, it's about the consciousness, because I love the giving presents part too, and I usually love it even more when it's very meaningful, you know, when I am thinking of that person. And then people who don't like it are probably not in that state of, they're in the ego, they're not in the, you know, the Christ consciousness, they're not into what we're talking about, so it doesn't feel good.
And it feels like, you feel guilty because there's an expectation attached to gift giving, right? But it's not about that. It's about something completely different. So
yeah, and when you said that part about guilt, that's what really stood out to me, because that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole other side of it, too, with how the world has taken marketing Christmas as well. And I think a lot of people are turned off by that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, too, what was coming up, I don't even remember now who was talking, but just in this conversation, I think, actually, Deidre, I think it was you that you referred to the magical feeling of Christmas.
Yeah.
and when you said that, what came up for me was, and I've seen it, you know, in my family, I've seen it, I guess you can see it a lot on TV, but just that pressure that comes with, you know, wanting to make the holiday perfect, wanting to give it that magical feeling and have it be this magical time. And, you know, they say that the holidays, for a lot of people are like, can be the most depressing time of the year because, you know, what for some people might come up, but like just being totally feeling like, you know, that feeling isn't there. Like they don't, for whatever, you know, countless reasons that might be. And just what came up for me when you said those words was, wow, like the magical feeling of Christmas, again, it comes, it can't be anything that we create out there. That's not going to last, you know, that's not going to, maybe it'll give us that feeling a little bit, but this magical feeling of Christmas, it comes from that love within. That's, you know, that's totally where it comes from. And obviously, you know, I think that's out there, you know, I think that love is definitely out there, but we also, like you just said, with, you know, marketing and whatnot and the commercial side of things, we can easily lose that and wanting to, you know, recreate it with things out there and lose the fact that it's
right, and all of that is a worldly, that is all worldly, right? So it's all removed from the truth. So it makes sense that would feel empty.
Yep, absolutely. Right. Oh, wow. All right. So, those were the three paragraphs that we were going to read for this section. So, again, you're welcome at some point if you want to finish up this section. It's really good. Let's keep moving forward. And if you're in the Sparkle Edition, it's going to be page 374. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 327. Now, interestingly, in the FIP edition, the title of this subheading is Christmas as the End of Sacrifice. For us in the Sparkle edition and the original editions, it's just the End of Sacrifice.
Sorry, Corinne, what page did you say in the Sparkle? 374. Thank you.
End of Sacrifice. You're welcome. No, I keep rattling off page numbers, so please feel free to clarify anybody if you need to. Page 374 in the Sparkle, page 327 in FIP. Okay, so the End of Sacrifice, or Christmas as the End of Sacrifice in the FIP. Fear not to recognize the whole idea of sacrifice as solely of your making. And seek not safety by attempting to protect yourself from where it is not. Your brothers and your father have become very fearful to you, and you would bargain with them for a few special relationships in which you think you see some scraps of safety. Do not try longer to keep apart your thoughts and the thought that has been given you. When they are brought together and perceived where they are, the choice between them is nothing more than a gentle awakening and as simple as opening your eyes to daylight when you have no more need of sleep. So I'm just going to pause there real quick and just say that basically I don't want to have to reread this to give sort of the synopsis here, but essentially what this said to me is that, you know, again, in our egos, we've used our special relationships that we have with other people here as a substitute for God. So, you know, that boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, children, parent, it's all, the ego will use those as special relationships. We, as we give those to Spirit uses them on behalf of our awakening, on behalf of our awakening and as a holy relationship instead of a special relationship. So when it says, do not try longer to keep apart your thoughts and the thought that has been given you, the difference here, again, you see lowercase t and uppercase t. The lowercase t thought is our ego thoughts. The capital T thought is the thought of God, that thought of love. And so when we're identified with our ego, want to keep those separate thoughts, have our own thoughts separate from the thought of God. What this is saying is when we bring our thoughts, when we bring our ego thoughts to Spirit, again, through that willingness, once we see them truly, we see that there's really no choice to make. It becomes clear the choice that we want, and we don't lose anything. We don't lose our own thoughts. We don't lose anything, you know, that we're attached to. It's simply a gentle awakening. It's a letting go of things that we see that don't serve us anymore. And it's as simple as it says, as opening your eyes to daylight when you have no more need of sleep. How gentle is that?
Sounds nice.
So the next paragraph, the sign of Christmas is a star, a light in darkness. See it not outside yourself, but shining in the heaven within, and accept it as the sign the time of Christ has come. He comes demanding nothing. No sacrifice of any kind, of anyone, is asked by him. In his presence, the whole idea of sacrifice loses all meaning, for he is host to God. And you need but invite him in who is there already by recognizing that his host is one, and no thought alien to his oneness can abide with him there. Love must be total to give him welcome, for the presence of holiness creates the holiness which surrounds it. No fear can touch the host who cradles God in the time of Christ, for the host is as holy as the perfect innocence which he protects and whose power protects him. So again, here, this is really stressing. Actually, before I say anything, does anybody have anything that came up or anything that stands out to you? Any comments or questions?
Just that I really love that one. That's one of the ones I found last year when I was just had the FIP version, and it does bring up a lot of the things we've been reading in the other paragraphs. But it's so powerful.
It is so powerful. It's so beautiful.
And just that idea that no sacrifice is necessary. I mean, the Course says that over and over, but it's like we need to hear it, or at least I do. I need to hear that over and over again.
I do, too.
Me, too.
I think the no sacrifice and not feeling guilty, I just need to be reminded every minute.
Yep. Oh, I totally agree. So all I was going to say was that, again, just what you said with how beautiful it is that this is stressing here, that there is no sacrifice. The whole idea of sacrifice loses all meaning when we are in God's presence, when we're, you know, in right-mindedness, listening to the Holy Spirit instead of the ego. I really like, too, how it says, for he is host to God, and you need but invite him who is there already by recognizing that his host is one, and no thought alien to his oneness can abide with him there. So that is just so crystal clear, because already in the Sparkle edition is in all capital letters, and you need but invite him who is there already. Mm-hmm. So it's that reminder again that we're not nothing has changed. It's just simply, you know, our awareness that we've limited, and we're simply learning how to open our awareness again to the presence of that which is already there, which is that love. So it's nothing, you know, nothing has changed. We haven't affected anything. We haven't negatively affected God by our closing off of our awareness. He is there already. It's just our having to invite him in for us to become aware of him again. So next paragraph. This Christmas, give the Holy Spirit everything that would hurt you. Let yourself be healed completely that you may join with him in healing. And let us celebrate our release together by releasing everyone with us. Leave nothing behind, for release is total, and when you have accepted it with me, you will give it with me. All pain and sacrifice and littleness will disappear in our relationship, which is as innocent as our relationship with our Father, and as powerful. Pain will be brought to us and disappear in our presence, and without pain, there can be no sacrifice. And without sacrifice, their love must be. Again, I love all this.
That was awesome.
I'm so struck also to the first sentence, this Christmas, give the Holy Spirit everything that would hurt you. That to me is really powerful, because I've found that it has strengthened my trust so much to give the Holy Spirit everything that, you know, I think that I am, that I think that I have, that I think that I want. So it's been such a powerful practice for me to, I'll literally get on my knees and go through my laundry list of things, you know, that make up Corinne, that make up my identity. And I'll say, okay, Holy Spirit, take my mind, take my body, take my relationship, take my husband, take my money, take my house, take my job, take it all. And in when I'm able to truly, even if it's just for that tiny, again, the Course says we only need that moment, that speck, tiny speck of willingness in that little moment where we're authentically handing that over, and the outcome of peace is just absolutely guaranteed. And in releasing all of those things, I just experience so much peace. And so that first sentence really, really stands out to me for that reason.
So great.
Did any other sentences stand out to anybody?
I think that one really stood out to me too, just because coming at it from another perspective of if things come up for people with family during the holiday or whatnot, that a reminder to give everything to the Holy Spirit. And that could be really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, when we're triggered and then, you know, it seems like so-and-so in the family is doing what they do. Having that as, it's really a coping skill. Like, it really is a method of coping with life, with anything that comes our way, with being able to just, again, find our willingness, touch it, and then, you know, have that willingness, just hand whatever it is over to Spirit to be willing to see it differently. That's huge.
And it just really, like, the whole idea of Spirit being within us all the time is, like, Christmas is every day. It's not just right now. Like, it's not a time, like you were saying. So, and when family stuff comes up because it's bound to, or whoever relationship, whatever relationship it is, it's like, it's a reminder for me to, my only job is to accept the truth for myself, and I don't have to worry about accepting the truth for anyone else. It's just me.
Yeah, and that's the best healing that you can give to anybody else is when you're allowing your own mind to be healed, is when you're, you know, accepting that healing for yourself. Then that's when others can truly, truly be healed, because you're allowing the ego to be undone in your own mind.
Right.
I love the line, all pain and sacrifice and littleness will disappear in our relationship, which is as innocent as our relationship with our Father and as powerful.
Yeah.
It's just jam-packed with goodies.
It sure is. And then when it goes on, pain will be brought to us and disappear in our presence. And without pain, there can be no sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there love must be. It just makes me think, you know, first of all, you know, you can just think of the stories of Jesus healing people. But, I mean, have you ever even just been in the presence of somebody where, you know, they're so present, it touches you. You're just affected by that. And I know I've been. I can think of a number of times when I felt that way. I was at a training one time for the mindfulness-based stress reduction classes that I teach, and I felt like Jon Kabat-Zinn. He's the, some of you may have heard of him. He's very, very well known and has really been the pioneer to bring mindfulness into mainstream America. And he is so present that when you're talking to him, you can't not be affected. You feel it. Like, you just feel that presence from him, and I felt it immediately in me.
Yeah.
Next paragraph. You who believe that sacrifice is love must learn that sacrifice is separation from love. For sacrifice brings guilt as surely as love brings peace. Guilt is the condition of sacrifice, as peace is the condition for the awareness of your relationship with God. Through guilt, you exclude your father and your brothers from yourself. Through peace, you invite them back and realize that they are where your invitation bids them be. What you excluded from yourself seems fearful, for you endowed it with fear and tried to cast it out, though it was part of you. Who can perceive part of himself as loathsome and live within himself in peace? And who can try to resolve the perceived conflict of heaven and hell in him by casting heaven out and giving it the attributes of hell without experiencing himself as incomplete and lonely? As long as you perceive the body as your reality, so long will you perceive yourself as lonely and deprived. And so long will you also perceive yourself as a victim of sacrifice, justified in sacrificing others. For who could thrust heaven and its creator aside without a sense of sacrifice and loss? And who can suffer sacrifice and loss without attempting to restore himself? Yet how could you accomplish this yourselves when the basis of your attempts is the belief in the reality of the deprivation? For deprivation breeds attack, being the belief that attack is justified. And as long as you would retain the deprivation, attack becomes salvation and sacrifice becomes love. I think I'm going to keep going. Is that okay?
Yes.
Yep.
So is it that in all your seeking for love, you seek for sacrifice and find it. Yet you find not love. It is impossible to deny what love is and still recognize it. The meaning of love lies in what you have cast outside yourself, and it has no meaning at all apart from you. It is what you preferred to keep that has no meaning, while all that you would keep away holds all the meaning of the universe and holds the universe together in its meaning. For unless the universe were joined in you, it would be apart from God, and to be without him is to be without meaning. So essentially what this is speaking to is just this profound confusion that we have, where we have, again, closed off our awareness to the presence of love. We see it as something outside of ourselves. And it also goes into that whole teaching. To me, what comes up is this the reversal of cause and effect, where now, as we're in these bodies, we think that, you know, there's things out there that can cause us pain. You know, those germs can cause me to get sick, or, you know, he or she, if they're behaving however, they can cause me to have a bad day. The Course is teaching us that everything is coming from our mind. So that's where the healing has to occur, in our mind. And it's about, again, through simply having these holy instants, these moments, of willingness of continuing to turn our perceptions over to spirit, that we have these glimpses of seeing that there is nothing outside of ourselves. It is all coming from our mind. And I just really like how it says in that last paragraph that we just read, while all that you would keep away holds all the meaning of the universe and holds the universe together in its meaning. So everything that we're keeping away, that love that we're keeping out of our awareness, is where all the meaning is found. And that's what we're opening up to, again, through our being Course students. This is why we're, you know, we're all on the same path of wanting to restore that awareness of love's presence. So it's pretty cool. But I feel like there's so many people joining in on the path of being willing to undo the ego. It wasn't always like that. The Course says, too, that, you know, we didn't want peace before. That it actually talks about, I think I've referenced this before, that angels were sent down to help us, but we had no interest in peace, and so they had to be called back because the we were so just focused on attack, and that was it. So now, you know, I feel like we're in a time where there are a lot of people who are interested in peace. We're not willing to keep throwing it away anymore. So in these three paragraphs that we read, any comments, any insights, any questions? I think we might be able to actually finish the section. Keep going. In the holy instant, the condition of love is met, for minds are joined without the body's interference, and where there is communication, there is peace. The Prince of Peace was born to reestablish the condition of love by teaching that communication remains unbroken even if the body is destroyed, provided that you see not the body as the necessary means of communication. And if you understand this lesson, you will realize that to sacrifice the body is to sacrifice nothing, and communication, which must be of the mind, cannot be sacrificed. Where then is sacrifice? The lesson I was born to teach and still would teach to all my brothers is that sacrifice is nowhere and love is everywhere. For communication embraces everything, and in the peace it reestablishes love, and in the peace it reestablishes love comes of itself. That sounded weird. I want to read that sentence one more time. For communication embraces everything, and in the peace it reestablishes, love comes of itself. There, that's better. Let no despair darken the joy of Christmas, for the time of Christ is meaningless apart from joy. Let us join in celebrating peace by demanding no sacrifice of anyone, for so will you offer me the love I offer you. What can be more joyous than to perceive we are deprived of nothing? Such is the message of the time of Christ, which I give you that you may give it and return it to the Father who gave it to me. For in the time of Christ, communication is restored, and he joins us in the celebration of his son's creation. I'm going to just pause there and see if anybody had anything come up.
I just feel like all these paragraphs are speaking for themselves, you know? Like
they are, aren't they?
Don't even need to add anything.
I agree. Saying it totally so perfectly. Totally agree. I'll share too, as we were just reading these two paragraphs, I just felt an enormous sense of gratitude for Jesus' teaching us through the Course and for, just feeling that enormous sense of gratitude.
Definitely.
I just had a funny memory come to mind of a teacher. I was, a training one time. It was actually the same mindfulness training that I just talked about with Jon Kabat-Zinn, and one of the people doing the recording of the training had on a t-shirt that said Buddha is my homeboy, and then somebody else had a t-shirt that said Jesus is my homeboy, and so I was just thinking, like, Jesus is my homeboy, yeah. Anyway, random memory. Okay, let's read the last couple of paragraphs here. God offers thanks to the Holy Host who would receive him and let him enter and abide where he would be. And by your welcome, does he welcome you into himself? For what is contained in you who welcome him is returned to him. And we but celebrate his wholeness as we welcome him into ourselves. Those who receive the Father are one with him, being host to him who created them. And by allowing him to enter, the remembrance of the Father enters with him, and with him they remember the only relationship they ever had and ever want to have. This is the weekend in which a new year will be born from the time of Christ. I have perfect faith in you to do all that you would accomplish. Nothing will be lacking, and you will make complete and not destroy. Say and understand this. I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I will your release because I recognize that we will be released together. So will the year begin in joy and freedom. There is much to do, and we have been long delayed. Accept the holy instant as this year is born, and take your place so long left unfulfilled in the great awakening. Make this year different by making it all the same. And let all your relationships be made holy for you. This is our will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How cool is it that we're all united in this great awakening? Like, this just, again, just like you said, Megan, these words stand on their own.
Yeah, I'm just thankful that you put these paragraphs together for us tonight. You know, it really is such a great way to go into this week, so thank you so much.
It is. Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks, Spirit, because it definitely came from the Holy Spirit. I wasn't planning. Actually, you can thank my stepfather. The Holy Spirit spoke to him.
Okay.
He used to facilitate the in-person study group that I was a part of for many years,
and when
he stopped teaching that, that's when I started doing this call, and I was just talking to him today, and he said, I miss doing the Christmas readings, and the bell went off in my head.
Oh,
the
my
Christmas
God,
readings, I need to
great.
Find those, so exactly. We
that's
can thank
so
Spirit
awesome.
For speaking through him.
Well, I thank everybody.
Yeah, I thank you. I thank you
that's
all,
awesome.
And yeah, just let's all just allow that birth of Christ come through us this week, and have a very Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yes, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We'll pick up, I guess. Well, I'll see if Spirit tells me to do otherwise, but we might pick up where we left off last week. So,
okay.
I guess other
great.
Direction.
Thank you again. That was
thank
thanks,
you.
Everyone.
Thank you
have
so
a good
much.
Night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.